Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey, Wonder Bums. This fortnight, this new episode comes to you from the Edinburgh Festival. And it's so exciting because I get to hoover with people from the other side of the world who I'd never normally be working nearby with. So I am hoovering in this episode with the most innovative, wise, kind, brilliant comedian, Melissa Stevens. She's American. And how great to have access to her. She is here at the Fringe doing a show unlike anything I've ever seen before called Hot Dogs and Tears. If you're up at the Fringe, I implore you to see it. She came round for lunch. More on that shortly. First of all, thank you for listening to Hoovering. Thank you. If you're one of the people who's come up to me at this Fringe and told me you love the podcast, thanks. I flipping love hearing that. You're all the best. I am also doing a show up here. I mean, you are sick of hearing about it. It's called Wench. Please come and see it. It's at 4:45 every day at the Monkey Barrel. It's been sold out for the last 4 days. I think weekends are going to be real busy. Maybe the whole thing will sell out. That'll be exciting. I'd love that. But if you were planning to come and maybe winging it and booking last minute, I would say it is worth booking in advance. But if you're not at the Fringe, like 99.99999% of you, fret not. I'm bringing it on tour. And I'm coming all around the whole of the UK. Please go to my website, jessicafosterq.com. All the tour dates are listed there. Some of them tickets have started to really fly now. I'd get a wriggle on, especially if you're coming to Colchester or Norwich or the Warwick Arts Centre, Bristol. There's hundreds of you coming. I'd crack on if you're coming there. Same with London. However, you know, there are some places where there's absolutely plenty of room and you can probably take your time. Yeah, probably decide to come on the night. Don't know why I'm telling you that. Yeah, the tour opens in Maidenhead on the 8th of September. If you live anywhere near there, come. It's not a million miles from Reading, where I'm also going. Please come to that one as well. Bath, you can come to Bath. There's so many places. I've got so many great places. And I'm in much bigger venues than when I did my Hench tour. So there's room for all of you and all of your friends. So just bring them all. Thanks for supporting the podcast, especially if you're my patron. You are the absolute tits. You are. I have just sent you this month's guest recipes and outtakes, scraps, bins. That's exclusive content just for you. Yeah, you're the absolute best. If you don't know what that is, it's where you give me a few quid a month and I will exchange you really cool podcast related stuff like discount tickets and things like that. So yeah, discount tickets to live shows, to stand-up shows, all sorts. Anyway, shall we just get into it? I loved this conversation. No offence to my last sort of 10 or so guests, but I just, this one just got me. It felt so easy and relaxed and, oh God, that sounded like a massive wanker, just sort of nourishing and interesting and one of those ones where you have little moments of going, oh yeah, need to keep an eye on that. Oh my God, that's so funny. And also, I learn about a food item called a blooming onion that, I mean, must blow my mind. It's going to blow your mind. Strap in. So Melissa came round to mine. I've got a nice flat up here. It's before my son had joined me, so it's all peaceful. Give or take a bit of building work outside, but I don't think you'll notice that. And I made us lunch. I made us a haggis salad. Why not? Where to begin? I've got so many questions. So it's a podcast about eating.
Yes.
And it's lovely to meet you. But there lovely is actually, in your show, I'm not going to give away any spoilers about it, but I absolutely loved it. And actually, I've never seen anything like it before in terms of the journey. I feel like I went on, felt quite moved. And really funny. And loads of mentions, actually, of things to eat that I had never heard of.
I was wondering how that would go over here. Yeah.
Well, fine, because I'm fascinated. But it does mean good. That I just want... You know, in between eating, obviously, I'd love, and I think the listenership of this podcast would love, like a really intensely detailed description of those things. Maybe start with, was there a deep fried whole onion mentioned?
Oh, yeah, a bloomin' onion.
A bloomin' onion.
Yeah, so it's a thing, you guys don't have Outback here. It's an Outback steakhouse. So it's like a steakhouse. It's kind of like, well, we don't, like, have pubs and things, but, like, in the South, and they have them all over, but it's just kind of like a generic, like, restaurant, and they sell bloomin' onions, which is, like, a whole onion that's fried, and then they, like, cut it open, and then you, like, take pieces of it, and you, like, dip it in, like, this, like, creamy, kind of like Thousand Island kind of dressing, and it's very yummy.
Oh, it sounds amazing. So they fry the onion whole, and is it crispy, or is it like soggy? Oh, yes.
No, it's got like, it's definitely breaded of some kind.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's kind of like a, I feel like a nicer onion ring.
Okay, great.
You know what I mean?
Like, great. Little, without like the batter and all of that, all that business. We have a confectionery item here called a Terry's Chocolate Orange.
I love that.
I love that. Have you had one?
Yes, I love that.
Okay, well, it feels like the onion equivalent of that.
Yes.
Because it's like an orb, but you get to smash it and then it comes out into segments.
Mm-hmm.
Except now I want to try Terry's Chocolate Orange, but dipped in something complimentary. Because there's no sweet equivalent of a Thousand Island dip. Something like that. Maybe like, oh God, it's already chocolate orange, which is such a fierce marriage. How do you break that up with anything better? What could possibly be added to that? Maybe
whipped cream?
Yeah, whipped cream. I was thinking maybe whipped cream,
Or something like, tangy.
Yeah, whipped cream, but whipped cream maybe with some really like intense orange zest through it. So you're doing orange again or something like that.
That
are you
amazing.
Into cooking?
I like eating.
Yeah, me too.
I bake more than I eat.
Fair enough.
Like I definitely was like a bit basic and got into sourdough during the pandemic.
Oh, I mean, fair enough. If you can keep a starter alive, you're a better woman than me.
Yeah, I mean, I did, and then like I definitely like mold got on it, and then I used it anyways.
Oh, good.
Which I wouldn't recommend.
Okay, I mean, I fucking love to hear that.
And I did it. I kept doing it. And I was like, this bread tastes weird. And then my husband was like, I took it out and he was like, that's mold. Have you just been using it? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, no, we shouldn't. So I had to start again.
I'm like, I had these like war baby grandparents that were so anti-food waste. Please stop. And my parents kind of rebelled from that, I think, and are a bit kind of like wasty and just bin it, make loads and then bin it. And I've kind of gone full circle back to the point where I have so much respect for mold eating.
Oh,
and the other day, because something was going off in my fridge up here, I had a stir fry for breakfast.
I'll do that. I'll just do that to make sure something doesn't go off.
Oh, interesting. See, my parents were definitely don't waste anything. Okay. Eat everything on your plate to the point of we're going to throw up.
Oh God. Yeah, that's not great, is it?
So now I'm probably, it depends. I'm probably in between. Like, I don't love throwing things out.
I thought you were going to say, I don't love throwing up.
I don't.
Me neither. No, yeah, it's not my favourite. I think if you either do or don't have that thing somewhere drilled into your core of, if it's got a bit of mould on it, it's probably on some level going to make you stronger.
Oh, I definitely do think that.
I have that, like, immune system. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like it's the sort of thing that, I don't know, at some point a scientist would be like, well, I mean, there's limits. Limits to that.
Don't do it. Don't do it all the time. Mm-hmm. This is amazing.
Mm.
I really love it.
It's okay, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the... Yeah, okay. It's fine. Phew-wee.
Yeah.
That was a risky one.
It doesn't feel risky at all.
Yay.
Scrumptious.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Scrumptious.
Yeah, pretty cool.
There's other stuff that you list at the end of your show.
Which would you like to hear about?
Oh, well, I didn't want to write them down in case anybody thought I was a reviewer.
Oh, okay, great. So I'll
you'll have to just remember one or two. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. I wonder, you guys probably don't have the same fast food besides McDonald's. But like, even then it's a little different.
Oh, what's different about your McDonald's? That's a great thing to find out.
Yeah, you guys, like, I don't know. They're all just like kind of different. Like,
yeah, it's true.
So some of the things I listed were, let's see what we're using. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I said? Well, definitely. I know I said pickles.
Mm.
Because that was something that I would do as a kid, which is go to the gas station and get, like, just big pickles, you know?
Yeah, like gherkins, we call them.
Yeah, but just, like, real large ones.
Whoppers.
Yeah, do you guys have that and sell those?
We can get them now. We can get them because most supermarkets in cities have, like, not an American... They have an American bit, but it'd be full of just sweet stuff. Mm. But sometimes massive hot dogs, actually.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The title of your show. But there's normally an Eastern European section that's got huge pickles in it, in jars. Yeah.
And they all sell large pickles at, like Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's, like, a thing you can get. Like, just a big pickle.
On its own?
Mm-hmm.
They just walk around with a massive pickle. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm fucking into that.
Yeah.
Are there, like, varieties of massive pickle? Can you get, like, sweet ones and salty ones and chili, spicy? Only,
well, I mean, I'm sure you could, but usually at those places it's just, like, dill.
Right.
It's just,
dill.
It's, like, a dill pickle.
Dill is currently, like, I don't know if you have the same thing in the States. We have a thing here where, basically, I think chefs really lead fashion here in terms of eating.
Okay.
We have really obvious fads. Like, burritos were a fad. Mm. Pulled jackfruit was everywhere, was a fad.
Mm-hmm.
And herbs come in and out. There was, like, a micro herbs time. There was a basil time where every recipe had basil. And Thai basil was in everything, like a kind of aniseed-y basil. Mm-hmm. And now it's dill, which is also aniseed-y, actually. But, like, everybody's really prescribing dill in everything. Mm. And it's funny because I think it's one of those herbs that I actually hear a lot of people hate because...
Oh, wow.
It was big in the 70s and every recipe had, like, dill and salmon.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it was just the quantities were too big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I weirdly love dill.
I love dill.
Like, a lot. Like, I love a dill dip.
Mmm.
Like, my mom used to make one with, like, sour cream.
Oh, yum.
And, like, it's, like... mayo, sour cream, Miracle Whip. I mean, it's just like, it's not great for you, but, and it's just like dill and onion, and it's really yummy.
Oh, great. That sounds great.
I mentioned Arby's, for five, which What's is that? Like, so Arby's is a fast food chain where they do roast beef sandwiches.
Fit.
Do you guys have roast beef sandwiches here?
I don't know if it's going to end up being the same thing, but what springs to mind immediately is, like, you wouldn't, like... Yes, you would. You, in a supermarket, like, somewhere where you get, like, a pre-made sandwich, mm-hmm. it would just be, like... But so I have an American uncle and cousin.
Mm.
And when she last came over here with her kids, she was, like, laughing at the amount of beef in a roast beef sandwich from a shop here, because it's like you get one thin
slice. It's not enough.
No, and she was just like, what? Like, what are you talking about? She runs a coffee shop where she lives, and she was like, normally you would get like, oh, I don't know, like 100 times more. It's like mm-hmm. way more filling mm-hmm. and then little bits of bread. Whereas here we're like, we were really into bread.
Yeah, it's interesting because I bought a sandwich recently and I was like, where is the meat? And I was like really confused as to how. And also when you buy the packaged meat, it's like a few slices. And we're like, what is this? Who's eating? What is this? Is that enough? Who's
yeah.
So the roast beef sandwiches are like, it's very thinly sliced roast beef. It's like so thin.
Mm.
And there used to be like these commercials where they put it down. And it's like this much beef. And amazing. Then just buttered bun. On yes. it, and that's it. Beautiful. And back when I was growing up, you could get five for $5.
Oh my god.
Now listen, is this real meat? Like how they're making this? Like we don't know. It's like a fast food restaurant. Like we don't really know.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Yeah. I love them.
And we don't need to understand the process behind you can't. Every processed mm-mm. thing, I don't mm-mm. think. Mystery is a glorious thing. Oh God, that sounds amazing. Yeah, we do, the closest thing we'd get to that, but you'd have to go to like basically a posh food market. There's a, in London, Borough Market. Now you can get everything you could ever imagine to eat there. Like there's stalls where people are cooking it for you. But one of the oldest things that's been there for time is, it's often pork more than beef, but like a big amount in there. Mm. With like, and if you have it with beef, you have it with horseradish here. Okay. Which is like wasabi, actually, but like uh-huh. I think it's the same item that they make it out of, and the, or root that they make it out of. And then with pork, you'd have it with applesauce, with like a crusty roll kind of thing. Yeah, it's good.
With applesauce?
Yeah.
On it?
Yeah, like roasted pork with apple, with like stewed apple.
Ooh.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I feel like I need to try it mm-hmm. to like really know.
We really like putting fruits with meats.
You guys do.
Yeah, we do.
We really do. It's not my first instinct.
Okay.
I'll get into it, but it's not like, I don't know.
I'm not excited to get into it, and that is fine and absolutely fair.
Another one's the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that it's just got a really great name. I don't think a lot of people who listen to this will even understand what you mean when you say biscuit in this context. So
because when I first came here and had, because my husband's British and had like an English breakfast, I was so disappointed.
Where's the biscuit?
And like your bacon's weird.
Do you? I mean,
it's like round Canadian. It's like ham.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Well, that's our ham.
Yeah, and you have like much crispier, thinner, streaky.
Our bacon is only streaky.
Okay.
So, and our biscuits are kind of like in between like a scone and a crumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but they're, I don't know, they're really good. Mm-hmm. And so you take fried chicken and then you put the biscuit on it and it's a sandwich, and that's amazing. What you eat for breakfast, and it's one of the most amazing things ever.
Sounds incredible.
It's really good.
Is the biscuit like crumbly?
Yes, it's like, and it's because usually what they'll call them is like buttermilk biscuit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then it's buttered and it's like really, but not everyone makes biscuits good.
Okay.
And you can buy them in the supermarket too, like in those like cans that you like open up and like, you know.
Just like pick them out, like little bit. Yeah, I was about to say like biscuits.
Yeah, like that, but ours are like, because I guess your biscuits are crackers to us.
Okay.
What are
cookies?
Crackers?
Or cookies. I think cookies, yeah. Yeah, for most British people, I think, will think immediately of a sweet thing if you say biscuit. But within the boundaries of what a biscuit is here, there's a fucking load of variation. Like, that could mean anything from a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Although we do have cookies, but we think of those as being like round and bigger and having like bits of other stuff in. Like, you would never have like a plain cookie. It would have like chocolate chips, or it would be like oat and raisin or cranberry or something. Whereas a biscuit could be, we've got like some classics. There's ones where you get like two bits of biscuit with a cream, like a filling inside.
Yep.
like a custard cream or a bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then right through. Right through. I don't know where we... I don't know if that's like a French... I don't know. I'm really bad at cooking biscuits. I can't bake biscuits.
I would love to bake a biscuit.
Yeah.
It seems very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd love to, like, understand how you... Because it just doesn't even really have to rise that much.
No, I had I did one of these podcasts with... We have a show over here called Bake Off, where it's a very popular show.
Oh,
where,
I've seen it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a really lovely guy called Michael Chakravarty come round, and we both attempted one of his biscuit recipes, which was so simple. It was just an orange and cardamom shortbread.
Okay.
And I think it was Christmas. We cut them into Christmas shapes. His were fucking beautiful. They were so thin and crisp, but still somehow tasted like so buttery.
Mm.
And mine were just big fat sloppy boys. Big. I just couldn't get them thin enough.
Yeah.
And I think it's just sort of a case of I couldn't be asked and didn't know that I was meant to.
Yeah, because I don't have time for that.
Yeah,
flattening, or I don't know how you get it all the same size, all the same thickness.
And then if you overdo it, then you burn them.
Yes,
it's an absolute minefield out there.
Yeah, and it's like you cook them for such a short amount of time.
Yeah, totally. Please help yourself to more if you want, or shall I open this guy? Are you interested in that?
I'm interested.
Oh, try it.
I don't think I've ever had one
chorizo Scotch egg. So it's got it's a sausage, or in this case, chorizo case with a egg inside.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, but fun. Wow. Well, she's fun. Pretty.
Have you ever had anything on the show that you were eating that was, you were like, we can't, it's bad?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What was the worst?
Do you know what? It wasn't actually that long ago.
Really?
It was vegan prawns.
Oh, that's
tough. It was a sort of challenge from a listener to try and find a vegan prawn and eat it.
Wow, that's so specific.
Yeah, they can pimp me out quite hard sometimes, these guys. And also, again, a listener challenge. It was a Norwegian cheese that they have in other parts, I think, of like maybe sometimes in Sweden and Denmark and places as well, called Brunost cheese. Have you ever tried that?
No, I don't even know what it is.
It's one of those love it or hate it things like durian fruit, where like it's brown. It just means brown cheese.
Okay.
And it's caramelly. There's a sweetness. Sweet. Yeah, but also a really strong cheesiness all at the same time.
Wow, that's tough.
And then both me and my guest had to actually evacuate that shit. Yeah, had to get it out.
Interesting.
Yeah, hardcore.
Yeah, vegan stuff's interesting. I was vegan for a bit.
Yeah, I flirted with it.
For like 5 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then in the pandemic, I got out of there.
Yeah.
And now I'm eating trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Same. Well, I don't know about five. I didn't do 5 years. I did about a year. But always, I don't think I could ever really justify using the label vegan, because if somebody, like if I went, I'm just socially not brave. And if I went to someone's house and they'd made me a cup of tea with milk in it, I'd just drink it.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's...
Like I didn't
traveling.
I wasn't yeah exactly.
Traveling was a nightmare. My also, was just like, okay, yeah. We have to eat it. I just have to do this.
Yeah, and I'd be like, I'm not very good at being hungry, so if there was only an option to have something just vegetarian, I would. Yeah, it's funny actually. I think when I started this podcast 4 years ago, and at that time I was like right at the beginning in the really passionate bit of plant eating. And anybody who's listened from the beginning will have heard this really steep decline into like full, just having some treats.
It happens. It really does. Like you go from over here and then people are like, what happened? And I'm like, this is where we are. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know what to tell you.
But also I think once you announce yourself as vegan, do you have this? Everybody in your life is then like, what happened to the veganism for rest of your life?
Yeah. This is my thing. It's like, for some reason, people are like on top of me about it. I'm like, I'm not counting how often you eat meat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm also like, yeah, sometimes I eat vegetarian. Now it's just more fluid now. Like, it's not a big deal.
But also, I think people, me too. And I think people It's people are obsessed with, like, I think it's an identity thing where people are like, oh, but you can't change your identity. And it's like, you fucking can. Like, it's terrifying for you, but humans are changing all the time.
Well, yeah, and for me,
you change your politics, you change your sexuality, you can change whatever, you can change your gender. Like, we change. It might be frightening for people because it means they need to accept that maybe they could change.
Yes.
But fuck it. Like, it's just actually what happens, right?
Yeah, and it's like, why do I need to... Well, now I'm like... It was a good lesson, too, of, like, I don't necessarily need to announce it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all the time, like, I could just do it. I'll just do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then, also, it's okay if I move.
Yeah.
It just doesn't...
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I think if somebody was, like, brought up in a criminal gang, did a load of murders, and then, like, reformed and found the Lord... No one would be like, what happened to the killing? What happened to all the fun killing you used to do? Bizarre. Would you talk to me about eating growing up? I mean, I guess we covered some stuff in the sense that you said your mum makes a great dill, or made a great dill.
And a dip. And a good chocolate chip ice cream cake.
Amazing. Oh, nice. Oh, you mentioned that in the show as well. That sounds incredible.
Which would be cookie dough from the package.
Mm.
You know, do you guys have that?
We do now. Really recently, actually.
Yeah. Okay, so we've always had that. And we would, like, a big thing growing up was I would just go into the fridge and take a scoop of that.
Nice.
And just eat it raw.
Nice.
And now, actually, in the States, you can just buy cookie dough to eat out of the tub.
Yes.
Which I was like, yes, that's actually... Because we're doing it anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not making the cookies.
It's so true. Like,
let's get there.
Yep.
And so it's just cookie dough. You make that.
Yeah.
You make it into a whole cake instead of cookies.
Oh,
and then
nice.
You take a whole carton of ice cream and you put it on top of the cake.
Amazing.
And then you put, like, sprinkles, all that stuff, and then you put it in the freezer.
Great.
And that's your cake.
Oh, God.
That's great.
Sounds brilliant. Is there anything that you think demands to be eaten, like, in a particularly ritualistic way?
I eat boiled peanuts, which is a very Southern thing.
Mm.
Very specifically, which no one else in the South probably eats them this way. But, like, I eat the shell.
Okay. And so, yeah. The ones... I'm doing an impression like this, like a 3D figure of eight.
Mm-hmm.
And you boil them.
And you soak them all day.
Okay.
And you, with, like, spices and things, and, like, you can get Cajun. You can get them, like, on the side of the road or at, like, gas stations, or you make them yourself. And there is, like, a whole thing. It's kind of like when you're eating, like, crawfish or, you have, like, a plate for the discard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole thing for it. Except for I eat the whole thing.
Amazing.
And there's no discard.
Yep.
Same with roasted peanuts. It. I'll eat the whole outside.
I love to hear it. It's so funny, isn't it? I feel like you quite frequently eat... Well, I feel like 1 in 10 people eats the whole apple. Or the whole pear.
Oh.
With even the seeds inside and stuff
really?
Like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never met someone who does that.
But then the other day, I ate a seed... An apple seed that had fallen on the table. Not out of, I think, trying to get rid of waste, but like a sort of half absent-minded curiosity.
Yeah.
Like, it just looked nice and I wanted to eat. I just put it on my finger and ate it.
Okay.
And it was fine until I chomped, and then it was like a bit like bitter within, and I regretted it, but I was glad I'd had the experience because now I won't do that again.
Yeah.
Knowingly. And then my partner was like, you shouldn't do that. There's poison in there. There's poison in apple seeds. But I mean, it's the sort of thing that I refuse to fucking Google because I'm fine. And I think we'd all know about it if we all had like 8 poison harboring vessels in our homes at all times. Like, everybody's got like apples. Like, we wouldn't just have...
The seeds are poisonous?
I think surely you probably need to like crush them down and inject them into your eyeball to have like...
Wow. Yeah, it's for it to really...
Affects. Hurt you.
Yeah. Wow, so interesting. I've never...
Yeah.
Now, the bummer is I'm probably going to do that now.
Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. Sorry, you know I'm really sorry for telling you, but I feel like I've done a don't press the red button.
Yeah, because it's like, so I did this thing and I'm going to be like, okay, well, we're here. And now I'm trying
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I didn't know, but you said in your show you have autism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that affect how you eat at all? I know for a bunch of people it does.
I am very specific about food. Uh-huh. I don't like to share food.
Okay.
Sometimes it can affect, like, being around other people eating, too. Yeah. Like, so it can... In all kinds of ways. I don't like my food to touch.
Okay. Is this stressful?
No, this is actually okay. I think it's like when it's like on a plate.
Okay, fine.
Like I don't like it to, and I don't like sauces to mix.
Yeah.
So like those kinds of things.
Yes, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So like
when
my husband makes like like spaghetti,
yeah,
like I want it to be separate.
Okay.
And I'll like, you know, so I'll do things like that.
Do you know what? Do you mean like where you have like a maybe like a red sauce or a meat sauce and mm-hmm. spaghetti? I don't need them completely separate, like they can touch each other. But it's always kind of made me go a little bit like, ugh, when people do that real mix it all right in thing.
Yeah.
It feels like, mm-hmm. I don't mind it, you know, but it feels like sort of thing you're like, I think, and you sort of grow out of doing that, don't you? That's like a kid's thing to do.
Like mix it all together. Where I'm like, oh, I don't know about that.
That's funny, isn't it? One of my dear friends who's also up here with a brilliant show called Pierre Novelli has just had an autism diagnosis. And one of my favourite things that he said is like, I always wondered why every show I ever wrote had a bit about food textures in it. And I was like, yeah, it's quite a red flag, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, there's things like that, and there's like sound. Like I definitely have more I have food sensory stuff and auditory and smell. Like, all the senses are a bit, like, I'll have quirks with all of them.
Okay.
You know, there's always a thing that, like, comes out that's, like, you know, I didn't really notice was a thing until, like, it doesn't bother anyone else. And I'm fair like, enough. Oh, okay, well, there you go.
There you go, absolutely.
Like, the more you know.
Have you ever accidentally or on purpose eaten anything that wasn't food? It's fine if the answer's no, by the way, to any of these silly questions.
I feel like definitely I've, like, eaten a plant outside.
Yeah.
Like, for sure, like, I've eaten a leaf.
Yeah, just tried a leaf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but I for sure feel like that's happened. Or, like, I've definitely eaten grass.
It's such a funny... But I know what you mean. There's some... Yeah, those things, there's a temptation. You've got a lovely bit in your show about... heating up hot dogs on a hot pavement as a kid. I've got like a really like a, more of a teenager maybe memory of like trying to fry an egg on the bonnet of a car that had got really hot, like on the the car in the
smart
sun.
Mm-hmm.
But like we
did it work?
I don't think we were planning to eat it, and if we were it would have been like some sort of act of bullying for whoever was forced mm-hmm, to eat mm-hmm, it wasn't mm-hmm. like a nice let's make dinner here.
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't work, just really egged up that car. I think, actually, I don't think we realize quite extreme, how extreme the temperatures of our pans are when we're cooking, maybe.
Yeah, being like, it's hot out here, it should work.
Yeah, all the times, like, you could fry an egg on that. You normally couldn't,
Yeah. You're like, you actually can.
Yeah, great phrase, but you've exaggerated.
Yeah.
Where to go next? Did you always, you can say, I don't want to answer that question, thank you, too nosy, but like, would you say you've always had like a good relationship with eating, or has it ever been complicated?
Oh, for sure complicated.
Yeah.
It's always been a thing. I mean, I wouldn't say, I used to do it, do you guys have Lucky Charms?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've just always been a bit odd with all of food. Like, I would take out all of the marshmallows and I'd put them on the side. And then I'd eat the cereal. And then I'd pour another bowl. And then I would put those marshmallows in.
I love it.
And then I had the amount I needed.
Perfect.
Which now I think they sell, like, extra marshmallow Lucky Charms. You know what I mean? Like,
well, they must hear about how, like... it's like, there's not enough. Actually, a number of people are doing this thing.
Yeah, like, where... there's not enough marshmallows. Yeah. But, like, I've definitely had...
But do you think in some way that takes the joy out of it, like things like that? Like, here we have a thing called Smarties, which is like... you know what they are. And everybody's favourites are the orange ones. So I don't know if they're still doing it, but for a while they just bought out a tube of just the orange ones. And it's a bit like, well...
That is weird.
I don't know. Like, I get it. Like, I see what you've done there. But
I don't know.
It was really fun to save them.
Yeah.
It was really fun to like put them to one side and have them at the end. I feel like I trampled over you getting into a more serious answer there. Sorry.
Oh, no. I loved it because I think that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So for me, food has... I definitely had phases of like... Well, I guess I'm not meaning to get too dark, but I definitely had like a bulimia phase.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's insulting to say phase.
No, like... it's not at all. And actually, like, anything goes on this podcast. It's not too dark is what as well.
Oh, okay.
I think, it depends who I'm talking to. Like, if I'm like doing a live show with an audience and a panel, then I'm not going to get into people's fucking disordered eating, top trumps. But like, I think it's... So, as I said, I've been doing the podcast for so long, and I talk to all sorts of people, mainly women. I just found them more interesting. But one of the things that I've learned over the years is that, just in terms of, like, you know, that age-old thing that you still hear that, like, I think feminism's work is done, you don't need it anymore, we have equality. It's like, well, 99.9% of the women I speak to will at some point in their life, just as a casual act of part of growing up, we've all made ourselves sick. We've all done that. Kind of almost all of us have done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of unspoken eating me too. And if you say to a guy, most guys, the same equivalent the other way, 99% of guys, I've even had people emailing me saying, why don't you ask guys that question when you, blokes that question when you are interviewing them, or doing the podcast with them. And I do, but like, it doesn't make the edit, because you go, have you ever had a complicated relationship with eating? And kind of almost all men more like, if they'll either go, no, yeah, it's fine. Or they'll go, when I was 12, I was podgy for 6 months. And you're like, that's not a complicated relationship. Like, it's mad that and actually, like, I don't know, it fucking blows my mind that we've all just done that.
Yeah,
like, it's something you probably have to accept that your daughter will try at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, because of the noise in the world. Yeah.
It's crazy. So I did it for a few years, and yeah, I think I. And then I just had to kind of just, like, I would say, like, now, like, food is definitely a reward.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think, for me. So I can definitely use it, because I'm sober. So, like, I can definitely use it as a thing of, like, I get this now. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I get to have fat. Like, it can... So then it'll make healthy food. I don't... lean to as much because this other food has become more of a like a thing or a reward. Like,
it's so funny that, like, you like, but that if you're aware of it, like, what can you do? You know what I mean? Then you need to be able to take joy where there is joy.
Yeah,
it's also exactly how it's how most people were brought up. You know, you've been good, you get this chocolate, and so it's actually incredibly fucking hard to undo that wiring, if not impossible. I've got a 6-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And I watch myself do it. Like, it's fucking hard not to.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to my therapist about it, and, like, I can feel myself doing the thing that, like, fucked me up. Like, and they were like, be realistic, like, this is how the world works, but also I think as long as there are other rewards, do you know what I mean? Like, as long as there are other dopamine hits, you know? So, I mean,
That's interesting.
I rewarded myself by cancelling my gig at 2 a.m. tonight.
Yeah.
Like, there were other things. There was like, yeah, the relief, the feeling. Yeah. It's like, you know, and I don't know. And I think with him, it's going to be, he doesn't need his work cancelled. The lucky shit. But he, toys or whatever, or like, we can spend this time with this person or whatever. Or like, let's, you know, whatever. It's like, think outside the box to make that spectrum of rewards broader than just the food. And then that takes the heat off. Because there's guilt over then. Because with reward comes other horrible emotions.
Then you feel bad about it and it's a thing. And it's like, it's definitely interesting too, coming to the festival, of like, there's a lot of talk, because I'm staying with a lot of artists in the house, of like, okay, tomorrow we're going to be better.
Oh, God.
Tomorrow we're going to be better. We're going to wake up. We're going to eat differently. There's a lot of that.
Resolutions.
You know, yeah. And there's a lot of like, we did it again. We did it again. And then Monday we're going to be different. And then we're at the stalls and I've got like my fries and I'm like, I don't know. Like, we end up there.
Yeah.
Specifically at night.
Yeah, of course.
At nighttime is my worst. So like, I think food is complicated. It's very private sometimes too.
Yeah,
I can have, I'm better with it now, but like, I used to like to eat alone. Mm-hmm. And I think the texture thing that you talked about is a thing that will come up. Like, certain foods I just can't eat because it's different.
Yeah.
So it's just like, food is food, I think. Yeah, I feel everyone, some people don't have that, I feel like, but I do.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating, isn't it? And there's people who, like, I feel almost really sorry for people who, for whatever they've chosen as their, like, job, like athletes and people like that, who have to have this incredible amount of control. And because there'll be some people for whom, like, seeing food as just fuel and that uncomplicated, who are probably more naturally suited to those kind of lives.
Yes.
Whereas there'll be people who, it's their dream, so they have that life, but it's hell. I couldn't do it. Like, I don't think I could weigh everything, control everything. I know I couldn't.
No, I can't weigh, but I have... I can't weigh food, but I have done... Like, just being a little bit more... Because, like, in the pandemic, I did gain some weight, and I didn't feel great.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, like... And I wasn't moving, because I worked from home. Yeah. So I was just like, we're just not... We gotta, like...
Yeah.
So I had to do a little bit more awareness around things.
Well, yeah, totally. And it's
funny, like, counting calories in a way that I'm like, it doesn't suit everyone, but it was a little helpful.
Delicious. Yeah, I mean, that's such a long, boring backstory to my relationship with eating, but I kind of
have please tell me.
Well, just flirted with every kind of disordered eating, but basically in my early 30s had like a bit of a revelation that essentially a life since about 10 spent on diets, like aiming for thinness, was fucked up. Like, it was just this cycle of restriction, control, binging, restriction, control, failure, binging. And actually just having, like, it's just so physically unhealthy to be like concertinaing your poor body.
Yeah.
And it meant that like my relationship with exercise was all horrible because I was only ever doing it to change my aesthetic.
Yeah.
So there was no, it really for me sucked the joy out of everything, that goal focused. It's also just not how I function. I don't love, like, I hate the where do you want to be in 5 years goal. Like, I mean, there might be one or two things I know I'd like, but like, I don't like, I like to enjoy the journey and the moment. And actually I'd realized that all eating, the joy was being taken out of all eating because it was just function. It was just guilt. It was just, or it was like, well done, you didn't eat very much. Like, and it's actually like, whilst living in a world, I think the world just gives you this completely conflicting noise that you need to be as small as you can. Even thin people feel like they need to be thinner. Whilst also, we really fetishize glorious food. And that, like, noise is, that those two bits of noise are in this battle that it's just making an absolute myth. Like, there's this massive aspect of my life that was never happy. How do you... It's an impossible loop of dissatisfaction.
It's a loop. That's the best way to describe it. I think that's a great way to describe it.
And I think
it.
I just... It took me that long as well to, like, educate myself that these diets don't work. Like, every study on every diet. And I'd even, like... I, and historically, you know, when I was back in that cycle, when I first started out doing comedy and stuff, I did a voiceover for weight loss tablets. And that was part of the wake-up call because the client was in one day and they were talking about the women featured in this TV ad that I was doing the voiceover for. I've never spoken about this on this podcast, but I have on others. I might get some shit for it. But it was back in the day. It was before I knew. I didn't, you know, I knew it wasn't great. I knew it wasn't ideal, but like it's also the most money I'd ever been offered for anything. At one point, I got £2,000 to go back in and just say, now 10% off at Boots.
I mean, great, absolutely, yeah. 100%.
One day, the client was in, and they were talking about the women in the ad. And one of the producers said, do those women keep the weight off? And he was like, God, no, of course not. But the way that he then said, they just couldn't stick to it. They just couldn't stick to it. And what these women were having to eat was a milkshake, a tablet, and then one sort of vegetably meal. Every day, that's it. They were starving. So, of course, they hemorrhaged weight.
Yeah, that's not
like,
normal.
And the faster you lose it, the faster it goes back on. Like, but the way he said it, he was so vile, frankly, about this woman's willpower or whatever. And actually, like, it's just not a sustainable way to... For the vast majority of people, being hungry all the time... It's, you can do it for a few months and you will lose weight. Like if you eat less, you're going to get smaller. Most people can't do that forever.
No, you can't.
Unless you... And if they do, they're sad forever.
Well, yeah, you can't.
And I don't want to... You know, and so... But equally, so I had this big revelation. I learned about intuitive eating, etc. And so for me, I've had to go full the other way. And even veganism and not plant-based eating, I should say, for me... It just became too rulesy. So whenever I had any set of rules, I realised I would rebel within the boundaries of those rules. So I thought I was coming out of the woods and I thought, well, I might try eating in a more plant-based way for the environment. But then I found I would be like binging within the boundaries of what was plant-based because I'd been given any rules. So I kind of have to have ultimately the most rule-based, rule-free eating. Like I just have to be able to psychologically go, you can have whatever you want whenever you want. Yeah. Eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. It's as simple as that. And take all the emotion off of everything. But actually, to extend that journey, I think so. I've had a few years on this podcast where I felt really passionate about that, a bit sensitive, a bit defensive, cutting bits of the podcast out where people talk about a restrictive diet they're on or counting calories or anything like that. And actually now I've come that bit further on where I think that my experience isn't necessarily a universal one. And what other people can need to do to be happy is going to be different. Like it's so easy to fall into that hole of thinking that your experience must be everyone's or at least every woman's experience, and it's not true at all.
Yeah, it's really interesting because for me, like, I'm very similar. Like, I can't have a lot of restriction.
Yeah,
because I'm I'll take it to the extreme.
Yes,
go full every way. So even when it was like the counting the calories, it was like the least. It was just, it was almost just like, because for me, I think my intuitive eating that I wasn't doing was just like, you know, like, I would just mindlessly eat as much as I could. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would just be like in that thing.
I'm really aware now when I want to eat to numb an emotion as opposed to for hunger. And sometimes I do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, but I've
I'm doing it.
I know that's what that is.
Yes.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, it's... For me, it's like one of the least harmful things to do to numb that emotion. And sometimes I don't want to face them all.
Yeah. And what I've noticed too is like when I actually kind of started to become like aware about everything and like get to the... Like I actually kind of just stay at my natural weight.
Yeah.
Like if I'm very... Like there is not... There's not... I'm not moving that much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just have to be... Not have to be. Like I just... I kind of just... as long as I'm like present for it.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. I've had a very similar journey, I think, with, like, being vegan and doing this thing and that thing. It's just, like, I just have to be open.
Yeah, totally open. And I think it's a really interesting thing as well about your natural weight. Like, it does absolutely the same. My relationship with exercise has transformed ever since I, like, let all that stuff go and just... I found, like, for me, I love weightlifting, basically. And, it just brings me so much joy. But now because I go because it brings me joy. But anyway, post-pandemic as well, it wasn't something I had access to in the pandemic. And so when we were free from restrictions, I was like really went all in with that. And it's so funny that even recently I've been able to, for the first time in years, weigh myself because I did a Olympic weightlifting competition, a fun one for old people, a master's competition, like a little local one in East London, with all these incredible like old men with twirly moustaches and like slicked down barbered hair, like, and they're so, it's amazing. It was really fascinating. It was like a, you know, I really wanted to have a go at it, but and my gym, like my gym's very, it's run by young women, and they're like, you should try it, give it a go. And so, anyway, it was a very sort of supportive, but also kind of slightly funny, curious experiment. But for it, I had to get weighed, and they did it really nicely, where you didn't have like a load of people watching you do that.
That's nice.
I sort of had to prepare myself for that, but I managed to have a neutral response to it, which is really interesting, even though. Oh, it's so funny. I know right now that, like, I'm the fittest I've ever been. I'm 39, and because I've found joy in this stuff, I'm exercising more than I've ever done. So it's a really interesting thing to then find out that I'm, like, still the same weight. But I know that my body composition is almost certainly different to when I was this weight, when I was in my early 20s, and I was drinking loads. You know, I wouldn't eat for 4 days, and then I'd be, like, smashing, like, nutritionally undense food, like, and like, oh, I don't know, smoking, like all these things. And it's like, oh, it's so funny that that's like, there's this window that my weight is going to be in, and that's it. And like, and that's God, it. I just wish I'd been able to make my peace with that a bit younger. Do you know what I mean? It's
I mean, I did a thing where, because I was actually, you've been talking about exercise a lot, because my exercise and food went hand in hand.
Yes, I definitely
had a. I felt like I could only eat what I wanted if I exercised a certain amount.
Yes.
Yeah. And so then there was a time period where I had to run every day.
Oh, God.
And it went on for about 6 years. And no matter where I was, I had to go for a run.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was intense. Like, it was like one of those things where like, and then I remember one day being like, well, I got a cyst on my hip because the joints were just like, you got it. Because I was running in the city. I wasn't probably replacing my shoes. Like, I wasn't doing any of the stuff. I was like, I'm going to wear these. Like, who cares? And I remember taking a break for the first time and being like, yeah, this probably is unhealthy. Like, to run. But it was like, I couldn't eat otherwise.
Yeah.
It was tied to, if I don't run, I can't eat.
Yeah, and I think that's increasingly acknowledged. What do I know? I'm a fucking clown, not a scientist. But it's kind of in the spectrum of bulimias, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, to feel like you need to have exercised to the point where you're
able to. Yeah, and because exercise, actually, it's interesting when you asked about like control habits around food. I actually think mine went more to exercise.
Yeah.
To allow me to do what I want.
I need to keep a fucking eye on it, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, it is a really interesting one, that. And like, in knowing, it's the same. They call it intuitive exercise, don't they?
Well, yeah. Like, I went on a hike before that because I was like really. It's here. Like, it's in the brain. Like, my brain is my brain. Like, it's gonna obsess about something.
Yeah.
And I just have this relationship with my body and food and exercise that. I just have to know it's there.
Well, I think there's also, I don't know. I also don't know how much we should, I know we shouldn't beat ourselves up about this shit. Like, I also think it's the noise we're given. That is the noise we're given. And also I think humans are meant to move.
Yes. Like,
there is a real release in that.
100%. I really agree. Especially, like, I've noticed something recently, like when I get stressed with work or when something happens, as soon as I go outside, as soon as I, even if I were to do something that I wouldn't normally do, like a cardio hit or something like
I
feel better.
Yeah. It gives you chemical, a completely chemical release. It releases different chemicals that give you the effects of different drugs. I did there's a show over here called Comedians Giving Lectures. And they gave me one to do. I mean, you do have to do a lecture, but it's hopefully funny.
Yeah.
They gave me one like the effects on the brain of exercise.
Oh, that's
great. They give you all this research to turn hopefully into comedy. But it's fascinating, like, that different types of exercise release different thingamines, different types of ones. So like short, really intense exercise gives you like quite spiky highs, like. I don't know, like pills or coke or something like that. But if you do something longer, like a long run or like a slow burn thing, over anything over like half an hour, 40 minutes, and your body starts releasing basically pain suppressors that make you high like dope.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that lovely?
I like that.
Yeah, and I loved finding that out. And I was like, because I do get different. If I have like a long, slow swim, I feel like I've meditated.
My thing is like, I do think it's important to move. I don't know how to get rid of, I don't know if it's possible, but like I have a counting with exercise.
Uh-huh.
I have to work out a certain amount of days in order for it to count.
In a row?
In the week.
Oh, in the week. Okay.
So like I count it. It's not great. It's just there.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, there's nothing you can... it's not nothing you can do. That's a silly thing to say. But, like, you're aware of it, right? Like, it's so funny. Yeah, I think sometimes I probably do a bit of that. I'm aware I do a bit of that, too. I'll be like, well, you haven't been since... I think I... For me, it's like... I know that work is going to mean I can't exercise as much as I want to exercise, or exactly when and where I want to exercise.
Yes.
So I will, in the days I can exercise, beast it. I'll go sometimes to like two classes in a row at my gym.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because I know that Wednesday to Sunday, I'm down with my mom and my kid by this, you know, and like, we don't not move. We'll have walks and go in the sea and stuff, but I'll be like holding a 6-year-old. I won't be like getting out of breath or lifting something really heavy. Like, it's funny, isn't it? So I'll be like, I'll stockpile my exercise.
Yeah. That's
my
interesting.
Fitness and my gains and those little bits. And then like, bits. And then you'll have those rest days. And also I'm really guilty of doing too much. If I do too many in a row, like you can, I mean, just from a functionality point of view, I'm getting really boring now, I'm aware.
I'm into it.
Okay. I'm really aware that if you then go, you know, you have a week off or 4 days off with your family, whatever, doing somewhere where there isn't a gym and whatever, then you come back and you're better at it. Like your body actually really fucking loves a rest.
Well, and like, it's the same thing with like, that's,
you know,
what I'm
suddenly
learning with, like,
lose all your fitness because you had a week off.
I find the same thing with like my comedy and my writing.
Yes, like, so true.
I think like, well, if I'm not doing a show at this amount of time, if I'm not writing this amount of hours, well, I'm a failure. But as soon as I take a break and I give room, and I'm just out there being a person, the next time I sit down, I'm like, oh, there it is.
100%. And I think when you're writing comedy and you know, drama, and when you're writing, when whatever you do requires creativity, like from the source, when your life is that full of structure, where the fuck is that meant to come from?
Exactly.
Like you have to take breaks and stop and read a book. Also, especially if like you're, I don't know, you're writing, we both, our work is quite very autobiographical.
Yeah.
If you don't take a step back from that, also, what else have you got to talk about? You don't just talk about your busy schedule. No one wants to hear that shit. Like, you know. A porpoise and a wolverine and a basilisk are a thruple, and somehow they have a giant evil baby who starts wiping humanity out on land, sea, and Central American tropical rainforest where the basilisks live. And it's shit. It's just so shit, mate. It's an apocalypse. This beast has agreed to become a placid, beautiful, pacifist, eighth wonder of the world and stop it, but only if you and Widia, does have to be you, Melissa, complete every possible wordle in the history of time. It's a word game. All whilst barefoot pressing all the grapes in the entire Napa Valley. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. You go down in history as a person who saved us all from a terrible, gory apocalypse. But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Now, it's the opposite of a last meal because it's the happiest and the hungriest you've ever been. Like, this is the beginning of... like your best life. Like, this is not the end of anything, and it's also a fantasy situation. So this isn't like what could anyone get hold of or what's ethically the ideal thing to have. Nothing has any consequences here. I would love to know, in this fantasy situation where you're so hungry, so happy, so fulfilled, what would be your dream feast? What would you eat? What would you drink? And if there's a who, with, and where, you can have a who, with, and where.
Okay. So, it would be a lot of things.
Yes, I love to hear it.
It wouldn't be one thing.
No.
I'd probably, like, we'd have just different courses of it. So I'd probably have some boiled peanuts. Yes. I'd probably have a chicken biscuit. I'd probably have... pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Which is like one of my favorites. And I'd have like a lot of different cheeses with like crackers and breads and cold meats. And olives. I'd have a lot of different olives.
Yes.
And pickles. And I'm trying to think what else I would really want there.
Oh, I'm loving it.
My favorite way to eat is snack.
Yeah.
And very just nice. Keep going for as long as yeah. I can.
Yeah. Have little tries of all the different things.
A thing and a taste and a taste and yum, it's not, yum, I don't like yum. To commit to a full plate of anything.
I understand.
That stresses me out.
Yeah, I understand.
So I want to have just, like, maybe we'd have some fries over there and then we'd have yeah. something over here and then we'd have, it would just be trying different things. And then dessert would be the same.
Yeah.
Like pumpkin pie and then like some fruit and then maybe like an angel food cake.
Mm,
do you guys have any angel food cake? It's very light.
I was going to say, it's like want a, it to be if you're going to call it angel
yeah,
food.
Yeah, it's like a light spongy cake that you have in the summer with like strawberries and whipped cream.
Oh, lovely.
It's really nice.
Like our Victoria sponge or lighter yes. than that. Yeah.
Yes. And you could eat a whole one yourself.
Oh,
because yeah. it feels like nothing. It's just
like the
there.
Inside of a Krispy Kreme. Like,
yes. Gone. Yes. So I'm trying to think what else. I mean, donuts I would love to have also there. Yeah. I love a donut.
Yeah. God, I'm loving it.
Yeah. So a lot of things. I don't know if
this is great. This is a splendid answer. Thank you so much for doing the silly podcast. It's been really nice to meet you.
You too. Thanks for having me.
I'm in my tongue.
What a gorgeous episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to that anywhere near as much as I enjoyed making it. Go and see Melissa's show. Melissa Stevens, her show's called Hot Dogs and Tears. It's on in the Assembly's Powder Room up in the New Town, on for the rest of the Fringe. And then she'll be back to the States, so catch it while you can. Follow her on Instagram. She's at Melm. M-E-L-M Stevens with a P-H. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Hoovering Pod. Follow me at Jessica Fostercue. Come and see Wench at the Edinburgh Fringe and then on tour from September till December. Links to everything interesting that Melissa and I mentioned, including all of these live shows that I've wanged on about here, are as ever in the podcast notes. If you want to send me something longer than a tweet, or if you want links to where to buy tickets to see me do stand-up, please go to jessicafostercue.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.